Issue 1 calls for replacing the current city council of 7 members elected at large with a 13-person body composed of 3 at-large members and 10 elected from and representing yet-to-be-determined wards by 2018. The group Represent Columbus supports the measure, saying it will give a voice to parts of the city that have been neglected under the current system. The opposition, led by the group One Columbus, says the proposal would balkanize council and pit one neighborhood against another. One Columbus representative and one-time Democratic mayoral candidate James Ragland says while people may be frustrated with city government, a ward system doesn't address the problems.
I think what the people are clamoring for is effectiveness. We're not looking for fights at City Hall. We're looking for more impact on our neighborhoods. We're looking for more effectiveness within our neighborhoods. Does Issue 1 mean that every single neighborhood in Columbus is going to look like German Village? Absolutely not. Can we accomplish the goals that are needed in Linden, in Franklinton, and some of our other depressed communities under an at-large system? Absolutely, I believe that we can.
But Represent Columbus's co-chair, Whitney Smith, a Republican who's running for Franklin County Commissioner, says the city has outgrown the current system.
Fundamentally, you cannot represent 800,000 people in the city of Columbus. It's not fair to the city council members to have that task, and it's also not fair to the people that are asking for a representative in their neighborhood to talk to and tell about whatever issue that they have that is very specific to their neighborhood.
Issue 1 does not address appointments to fill city council vacancies, an issue that has been blamed for creating a one-party stranglehold on council. Smith's co-chair, longtime neighborhood activist Jonathan Beard, notes that in the past 30 years, only 3 council members have won a race without first being appointed to fill a vacancy. He says that makes it impossible for voters to control their own council. Narrowing the field, he says, will open up the system.
In a citywide election that costs $250,000 to run a competitive race against an incumbent, nobody can raise that kind of money. So once they're in office, the people cannot remove them. Once they're in office, they can, irritate somebody on the southeast side and get their votes on the northwest side. Local representation breaks it down to where we've got a manageable political system that we can make an impact on. Right now, as citizens, we've lost control of our government.
But One Columbus campaign manager Brian Clark says wards won't take the money out of politics.
You have districts that are roughly the size of a state house district, and that's certainly not a grassroots campaign as we see every election cycle here in Columbus. And as we see in Austin and Seattle, both cities in their first ward elections set new records for candidate spending and special interest spending in their elections, record spending. So this notion that moving to wards will magically remove money from politics or make our elections more competitive has been proven wrong time and time again.
The last citywide August special election was in 2009, a city income tax proposal that drew less than 19% of registered voters. Critics at the time charged city officials had deliberately scheduled the issue for an August vote when many people would be out of town, and a small group of motivated supporters could sway the vote. One Columbus's Clark says the same reasoning is behind the timing of this vote.
And if you look at social media and the discussion about this from the supporters of Issue 1, you'll find that this was a campaign tactic. They chose this election because, in their words, they wanted fewer voters at the polls. That was a campaign decision. It was not a decision for a more informed electorate. If we're going to make a massive change to our local government, I'd much rather have more citizens weigh in than fewer.
But Represent Columbus's Beard says the process was not so calculated.
We started this in 2011 and submitted signatures in the summer of 2012, submitted over 30,000 petition signatures, did not have enough valid signatures to qualify for the ballot. 2014, we went through the Charter Review Commission process and presented testimony and asked for the Charter Review to consider this. They did not do that. 2015, we tried again, submitted in July 2015 to try to get on November ballot. Again, we came up short with the petition signatures. And we were running as a grassroots effort at that time. This time we professionalized the effort and put a lot more into the upfront validation of signatures, qualified for the ballot. And under the Ohio Constitution and the city charter, it's required that once petitions are validated, it's 120 days to the ballot.
In the meantime, Columbus Mayor Andrew Ginther has announced that he will form a charter review committee after the election to study reforming the appointment process to fill council vacancies and get feedback from residents on changes they would like to see. I'm Allison Holm, WCBE News.